while ago, there was an update to NVDA that we were cautioned might potentially break some things, one of which was the use of eloquence as a synthesizer. Has the new update to NVDA addressed that, or is that still a an issue if you update to the newest version?
Steve, I believe the answer is yes.
I just did a Google search, and I found the Eloquence and Vocalizer add-on on the Code Factory website. It says it's compatible with NVDA 2019.3 and later.
I'm searching for a product on Amazon. This would be a product probably more helpful to deaf people than blind people. My sister is deaf. And when you wear a mask, people cannot lip read you. So what this device is, it's a button that you wear on your clothing, and it displays some words, and you can program the button to display whatever words you want. I guess you connect it with a cable to your computer, and whatever you type into the button just stays as an always-on display.
What they are is they're called LED signs, and it's a little maybe 1 by 5 inch, and you can clip it on to you, and you actually hook it up to a computer, and it comes with software that's programmed, and you just hook it up to your computer and go into the software, and you just put on the LED signs what you want, and it just, when it turns it on, it just works. And it, I think you can set it so it blinks or it's on all the time.
I was in a class sort of learning WordPress, and I'm wondering if people know or could recommend like a hosting service. I don't know if that's the right word. That's easy to use with JAWS, you know, that's accessible.
For $5 a month, you can get unlimited space and hosting, including WordPress and all kinds of other things if you would want to use them, at iaccessibility.net. It's run by Michael Doeys, who's an iOS and Android developer, as well as does a number of other things. But very, very good support, very responsive. Would highly recommend it. I know the Arizona Council and the Washington Council utilizes their services, and it's someone I would highly recommend.
Okay, and is that just the letter I, and then accessibility? Okay, thank you so much.
So I don't know how many of you use these various discussion groups with groups.io, you know, groups.io. You know, there are ones for JAWS and NVDA and Zoom and so on. And I've been using those for a while now, and you can do a daily digest. So instead of getting 50 messages a day, you get an index, a message, one a day, which makes it more manageable. But the problem is when you go to the website where, you know, a message thread is, they don't make very good use of things like headings or anything like that. There's a single heading, and then when you want to go down to messages in the thread, it's very, very slow and clunky and bad. And so I discovered something today, which was that every message begins at the top with, you know, the number sign, like the pound sign. And I found I had good results now to quickly get to the messages by doing Control F for find, and then typing in the number sign, which is Shift F3, and hit enter on that, and you get to it, and then you hit N for non-linked text, and you get right down to the message, and then you hit F3 to get to the next pound sign, and N to go down, and like suddenly now I can read those message strings. So I know with Bob, we were talking about these things during a training a couple of weeks ago or so, and I sort of found a usable answer to that. So I really like these groups.io things, but I find it extremely clunky to navigate inside the message threads. So just thought I'd throw that out there.
David, the number sign is a shift 3, not a shift F3.
I'm sorry, shift 3. You're right. Sorry. On the number row.
One of the things I find on the iPhone is, unless there's a thread, is there a more efficient way to delete groups of messages, or do you have to do each one? On the iPhone, like for example, in Mail.
There's an edit button, and then you can just go down through the messages and you double tap on it. Yeah. You double tap on it and it selects the message. And I believe down at the bottom of the screen, there's then a delete button, which will delete all of the messages that you've selected.
And I need to buy a new microwave, and I want one with tactile buttons or dials. So I'm just wondering, if anybody has a good brand or a good place to look.
I've got a microwave that has all buttons and a knob on it. It doesn't have speaking, but it has all buttons and knobs. I'm not using it anymore. I can look up the model, but if someone wants it, if you pay shipping, I'll send it to you. And this is Brandon Warner.
Oh, okay. I'll text you in the chat.
Nowadays, there are two types of touchpads. There's the capacitive one, and there's the, what's the other one called? Pressure sensitive. The pressure sensitive ones are easy to mark. The capacitive ones, and I know this because we bought new kitchen appliances and we have a built-in microwave and oven and dishwasher and all that stuff. And most of them, it's guesswork on my part to be able to get them to do anything, especially the oven. If I want to set the temperature, I can never be sure I've done it right because it's capacitive. And as my finger gets close to that surface, it starts pressing buttons before I ever touch the surface. And I've tried putting large lock dots on there, and that helped some, but it's still very difficult. So that's something to consider when you're buying any kind of an appliance, is to find out whether the touchpad on it is capacitive or not. You don't want capacitive if you can avoid it.
The other thing, Doreen, is we just purchased the Amazon Basics microwave, which obviously works with the Amazon Echo, but it also comes with a Braille tactile screen overlay as well.
Tim, how much does that microwave cost?
$60. The caveats are it's only 700 watts, and it's a little smaller than a regular microwave, but you can't beat the price, and it works with any Amazon Echo device.